All you sweat hogs, sit down. It's time for the SwampSwami.com sports podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
What? Well, I don't understand this.
And this ain't your grandma's World Cup. I'll explain that in a minute. The temperature across the South has been scorching as usual, and World Cup fever around the United States now seems to be abating quite a bit as of Tuesday. The three host countries in North America, Canada, Mexico, and the United States, for the 2026 World Cup soccer all advanced into the round of 16. Yeah, let's give them a hand. Now that was quite a pleasant surprise and some very good news for fans in North America. But unfortunately, the soccer teams for the three host countries have all bit the dust during the past couple of days. None of them reached the quarterfinals or Elite Eight or whatever the FIFA soccer people call it. Saturday, July 4th's action saw Canada get skunked 3-0 by tiny Morocco. The Moroccans converted on three of their four goal shots to capture that win. Canada only attempted three shots on goal for the game as they bowed out of this year's competition. Then on Sunday, Mexico lost at home to England 3-2 in a very tightly contested match. The home team outpassed England by a 2-1 margin. Let me explain. The number of completed passes from one player to the other by Mexico totaled 418 in the game for just 195 for England. That was impressive, but it didn't lead to enough points. As golfers might translate this, you pass for show, but kick for dough. The final host country then bowed out of World Cup 26 on Monday night in Seattle. The host United States had all eyes focused on Seattle Monday evening for its round of 16 game against Belgium. Team USA was coming off a raucous Independence Day weekend filled with fireworks and patriotic enthusiasm as the nation celebrated 250 years. But apparently America's soccer team failed to receive that fiery jingoistic pregame message. Belgium breezed to a surprisingly easy 4-1 win over an American team which kind of looked like it had a case of World Cup stage fright Monday night. The U.S. was attempting to reach the quarterfinals or round of eight for the first time since 2002. And Belgium's Red Devils, oh, that's their nickname, had never even reached the quarterfinals before Monday night's victory against Team USA. And despite having a very loud advantage playing in the home stadium of the NFL's Seattle Seahawks, the American team laid a proverbial egg Monday night in losing 4-1 to Belgium. The team looked lethargic. Perhaps they were overconfident, and they did not appear ready for a game of this magnitude. Much like the European golfers have dominated golf's Ryder Cup matches the past few decades, the European soccer teams definitely seem more cohesive and better prepared. The quarterfinals are now going to feature seven European teams and only one team from South America. All the games will be shown on Fox Television, and here are the times of the games. On Thursday, the first quarterfinal game will feature France versus Morocco at 3 p.m. in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Then on Friday, it's Spain versus Belgium at 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, California. On Saturday, a doubleheader, first at 4 p.m. with Norway versus England in Miami, Florida. And the nightcap at 8 p.m. Saturday features Argentina versus surprising Switzerland in Kansas City, Missouri. Team USA's bubble was burst on Monday night by a Belgian team, which wasn't even considered to be one of the top European squads. America once again proved that their team has exceptional ability, but the team's resolve in these tough matches is just not as strong as other national competitors. Maybe the U.S. should hire Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird to help coach the next soccer team.
Yes!
Wouldn't hurt. Question. Will Americans still be watching the remaining World Cup games without Team USA involved? The World Cup soccer television ratings have been a success for Fox Sports. Last Wednesday's 2-0 win by USA over Bosnia-Herzegovina drew 26 million viewers. That's impressive. Early reports indicated that more than 30 million people tuned in on Monday night to watch America's 4-1 loss to Belgium. That's about one-third of the number of viewers for a Super Bowl game. That's still quite impressive. That total still exceeds the viewership of nearly every NFL regular season game. But are you planning to tune in for the afternoon quarterfinal games beginning Thursday and Friday? The next night game on the schedule will not occur until Saturday night's quarterfinal game in Kansas City featuring Argentina and Switzerland. By the way, the Swiss won an exciting, a little bit of a snoozer, 0-0 game over Colombia Tuesday afternoon following a 4-3 shootout success. Now it's time to talk about the red card outrage. The U.S. team was given, theoretically, a big advantage for Monday night's game with Belgium. A dreaded red card was handed to an American player by a referee in the previous game after two players got their legs all tangled up. The red card would have disqualified that American player from participating in Monday night's game against Belgium. Following a call from U.S. President Donald Trump asking for an executive review, the FIFA committee rescinded the red card and then reinstated the American player for Monday's game. The Belgian team apparently was outraged by that decision. It added even more motivation for them to take down the U.S. squad in Monday night's game. Question: have you noticed the unique grammar being used in World Cup sports stories this week? I was reading a news story posted on ESPN Sunday and ran across several goofy-sounding sentences, among many of them in the article. For example, quote, Norway were stronger, better organized, and more capable with the ball. Here's another one. Norway are a very good team. What is going on here? Who's writing this stuff? The best answer I could find is that Europeans, who speak proper English, of course, refer to their national soccer, football team if you're in Europe, as if it was a plural noun. And I'm not picking on ESPN in particular for this odd writing style during the World Cup. Many other major news outlets are doing exactly the same thing. But I'll counter with this suggestion. If the soccer match is being played in Europe, you can write the story any way you prefer. That's fine. But when the game is being played in, let's say, Kansas City, Missouri, or another American city, you might want to consider utilizing the preferred grammar by American readers. Maybe. And Fakery Bakery is open for business again this year at the World Cup. You know, soccer is played without protective pads except around the lower legs and ankles. Contact between the players while they run at full speed or jump into the air to hit the ball with their head is inevitable in these games. And legitimate sports injuries do affect every team. Not arguing that point. However, the sport continues to hone fakery to even new levels of acting in order to draw a penalty from the game referees. Feigning an injury on the field to draw a sympathetic penalty from the refs has become too commonplace in soccer. A 0-0 defensive struggle, let's say like Tuesday's epic game between Switzerland and Colombia, can tempt the players to feign injury in order to help their team get a better shot on goal. Winning a World Cup Academy Award in the category of overacting seems to be a goal of many of these players. But then keep your eye on that injured player on the field. Once he receives that penalty call on an opponent, seems like their injured leg or back or other body part miraculously heals up and he goes right back into the game. It can make for some interesting entertainment in a relatively dull sport to watch on television. And finally, the Mexican fans did their version of the Aggies' midnight yell. Mexico's soccer fans pulled out all of the stops in the last week in trying to win their World Cup games in Mexico City. During a few of the recent games, the home team's fanatical fans camped outside of the hotel which was hosting the opposing team. And from late at night until the wee hours of the next morning, a throng of Mexican soccer fans threw a loud party replete with mariachi bands, singing, chanting, and air horns all night long. You see, they were trying to disrupt the sleep of the team's opponent for the next day. The Mexican fans' midnight yell practice was in excessive bad taste and lousy sportsmanship. And in the end, England ended Mexico's midnight serenades with a 3-2 win. Life is much quieter today in Mexico City. I'm Swamp Swami.